I'm David from Stanford University, David Silver. My co-authors are Suman Jana and Dan Bonet of Stanford, and Eric Chen and Colin Jackson of Carnegie Mellon. Our paper is Password Managers, Attacks and Defenses. So password managers exist to help users manage the passwords to the multitude of websites they visit regularly. Thus, password managers have always had a bit of an identity crisis. Are they tools for convenience to help users log in more easily, or are they tools of security to help users log in more securely? The goal, of course, is that they can accomplish both. What I'm going to show today is that password managers aren't quite as secure as they should be, but that we can improve password manager security without sacrificing user convenience. And to be clear, I'm not saying password managers are bad, quite the opposite. We think that they're great, but that they can be more secure and help users even more than they do now. So there are a variety of different password managers, but they all have the same general workflow. First, the user visits a page, manually enters their password, and chooses to save it in a password manager. Next time they visit the page, the password manager can autofill the login information into the login form. This talk today is going to focus on the second part, the autofilling of the username and password. This autofill can occur two different ways. The first is what we call manual autofill. Under manual autofill, the login form remains blank when the page is first loaded. The user needs to perform some sort of explicit user interaction to cause the form to be filled. This could be a mouse click, a keyboard shortcut, something like that. The important thing is that the user must explicitly tell the password manager, "I want this form to be filled in." By contrast, under the slightly awkwardly named automatic autofill, the login form is filled in as soon as the page is loaded. No user interaction is required. This is an approach taken by many popular password managers and is very convenient for users, but is also very difficult to make secure. You might be thinking that, okay, automatic autofill sounds simple. You see the form, you fill it in. But it turns out that there are a lot of different corner cases that make this very, very hard to implement in practice. To demonstrate, we're going to play a little game called Should We Autofill, in which we see how 10 different password managers handle various autofill corner cases. It's sort of like the Hunger Games, but with password managers. Competing are five browser-based password managers, those in Chrome, Firefox, Safari, IE, and the Android stock browser, plus five third-party password managers, 1Password, LastPass, KeePass, Keeper, and Norton Identity Safe. The first corner case we'll look at relates to the login form's action. So an HTML form's action specifies where the form data goes when the form is submitted. Suppose that when a password was saved, the login form's action was login.php. But now the password manager encounters a seemingly identical form, except its action is set to evil.com. It is not safe for a password manager to automatically autofill this form. We'll see why in a little bit. Nevertheless, four of the password managers we looked at do automatically autofill in this situation. Alternatively, we can look at a slightly different scenario. Suppose that instead of the login form's action being changed before the user or before the password manager fills the form, suppose it's changed afterward, say by a simple line of malicious JavaScript that changes the form's action. It's still not safe for the password manager to fill this form. Nevertheless, three additional password managers will now no longer allow the form to be filled, meaning 7 out of the 10 password managers we looked at will automatically autofill this form and then allow it to submit, even though the password is the form's action is different. This reflects a more general trend among password managers that, for the most part, they stop caring about the security of a form the moment the form is filled. The second corner case we're going to look at is what happens if the user reaches the current page by clicking through an HTTPS warning. So the user gets a certificate error, they get this scary warning, but there's also a very tempting proceed anyway button that unfortunately too often they end up clicking. When they do so, they might not be totally ignorant about security. They might say, okay, there might be something weird with this site, but I can go check it out and just be careful not to enter any confidential information into the page. The password manager, on the other hand, has other ideas. It's definitely not safe for the password manager to autofill this form, to automatically autofill this form, because that exposes the form, the password, to potentially malicious JavaScript. The final corner case we're going to look at is what happens if the login form is located within an iframe that is not same origin with its parent page. So for example, B.com's login page is embedded within a page from A.com. This is also not safe for password managers to automatically autofill, yet three of them do. I'm not going to have time to go over the attack that uses this particular vulnerability here, but is written up in the paper if you are curious. I should also mention that while this number was originally three, when we showed our paper to the LastPass guys, they fixed this particular vulnerability. So kudos to them. So by now, I hope I've convinced you that automatic autofill has a lot of corner cases and can be rather tricky to implement correctly. So we're going to now see a type of attack we call sweep attacks that can be used to exploit the automatic autofilling password manager to steal passwords without any user interaction. The threat model for this attack is what we call the coffee shop attacker. There are two parts. First, the user on a secure home network connects to a site and saves their password in a password manager. They then proceed to go to a coffee shop and connect to the coffee shop's Wi-Fi network, which is controlled by the attacker. There, they proceed to browse a totally unrelated site. They never visit the original one. Yet, the attacker's goal is to trick the password manager into revealing the password for the original site. To demonstrate this, I'll do a little example. So this is a scenario that's probably happened to everyone here at least once. You're at a coffee shop and you get a sudden craving and you decide, I need pizza. And so you decide to go onto the coffee shop's Wi-Fi network and go to papajohns.com, which is a website for a pizza company, and order a pizza to be delivered when you get home. Unbeknownst to you, the Wi-Fi network is controlled by the attacker who wants to steal your password to AT&T. So we call this particular attack the redirect sweep attack, and it works as follows. So first, your browser issues a GET request to the Papa John's website. The Papa John's website is an ordinary plain HTTP page, which is totally fine. There's nothing secure going on. But that makes it easy for the attacker to intercept the request and respond with a redirect to AT&T.com. Your browser then loads up AT&T.com. The server responds. And this is the first flaw. AT&T's login page is served over ordinary HTTP as well. This means that it's trivial for the attacker to inject malicious JavaScript into the response. This malicious JavaScript does a couple of things. First, it can render the page invisible so that to you, the user, it just looks like a blank screen and so probably doesn't throw off any alarm bells unless you're really paying attention. However, to your password manager, it says, hey, it's AT&T.com's login form, and it automatically autofills the form in. The malicious JavaScript can then steal the form by reading it directly out of the, or can steal the password by reading it directly out of the login form and then send it to the attacker. Once the password's been stolen, the attacker can then redirect your browser back to its original destination. It loads up papajohns.com, and this entire attack takes a couple of seconds, and you're none the wiser that your password has been stolen. Let's now look at this attack in action with a live pre-recorded demo. So here, we're already on the homepage of papajohns.com, and all we want to do is click the Our Pizza link at the top of the page and navigate to another page on the Papa John's website. So let's see what happens. So we move our mouse up to the top of the page. We click the link. It's blank for a couple seconds. And boom, we're at the Papa John's page that we clicked on. So everything's totally normal, right? Nope. Actually, we just had our password to AT&T.com stolen. So all our cable subscriptions now belong to the attacker. Let's look at that attack one more time, slightly more slowly and a bit less invisibly. So here, we once again go up and click the link, but now we can see what was happening invisibly before. It loaded up AT&T.com's login page, and our password manager helpfully automatically filled the form in. The attacker's JavaScript was then able to read the password directly out of the login form and do whatever it wants with it. In this case, the attacker is just displaying it in a pop-up window, but in reality, a real attack would send the password to some server controlled by the attacker. Once the attack is finished, we can navigate away from the page, and we get taken to the Papa John's website just like we intended. So unless you're really paying attention, you don't notice that this is going on, but you had a password to a totally unrelated site stolen. This particular attack makes use of the fact that AT&T.com serves its login page over ordinary HTTP, no HTTPS. It does this despite the fact that it submits the login form itself over HTTPS. All we care about for this attack is the protocol used to load the login page slash login form itself. To see how common this scenario was, we did a survey of the Alexa top 500 sites. And of the 408 that had login pages, we found that 194, or 47%, served their login page over ordinary HTTP. This means that just a little under 50% of the top 500 websites serve their pages over HTTP and are thus totally very trivially vulnerable to code injection like I just showed. Even sites that use HTTPS are not totally immune because standard code injection techniques like XSS injection or active mixed content can also be used. Furthermore, as we saw earlier, many automatic autofill password managers will automatically autofill the login form even if the user reaches it by clicking through an HTTPS warning. This means that if the attacker can trick the user into clicking through an HTTPS warning, then all the protections of HTTPS are gone, the password can be stolen, even if the user is smart enough to not manually type in their password on that page. Since users end up clicking through HTTPS warnings rather often, this is a rather significant vulnerability. That was the redirect sweep attack. Our paper describes two other types of sweep attacks that I don't have time to go into here. They're the iframe sweep attack and the window sweep attack. So check out the paper for the full details. The short version is that of all the password managers we tested, those that used automatic autofill in at least one situation were vulnerable to at least one type of sweep attack. The only password managers that were immune were the ones that used manual autofill 100% of the time. They never automatically autofilled the form. We can now think about how to defend against this type of attack. The first defense is probably fairly obvious after the second to last slide, in that automatic autofill is the problem because it populates the login form without any user interaction. This means that it exposes the password in clear text to a page that's potentially running malicious JavaScript and that can then steal the password. The fix, then, is to use manual autofill, to only autofill the form if the user explicitly interacts with the page. This is an approach taken by three of the password managers we studied, 1Password, KeePass, and Keeper. So kudos to them for doing the secure thing. I was going to give them a cookie, but I thought the cookie, then they were all marked for HTTP only, and so I couldn't give it to them. So these three password managers are all quite popular with users, showing that users are actually totally okay with manual autofill. Nevertheless, when we propose this, we're often told that manual autofill is less convenient than automatic autofill and that it is a burden to users. This doesn't need to be the case. Even with automatic autofill, the user still needs to interact with the page in order to submit the login form by clicking the submit button or the enter key or whatnot. There's no reason this single interaction couldn't both fill the login form and cause it to submit. This means it's the same number of interactions on behalf of the user, but it's significantly more secure. Therefore, we strongly encourage password manager vendors to implement manual autofill and drop automatic autofill entirely. And if you're worried about usability, you can implement a fill and submit feature like several of the password managers we looked at already do. So that's manual autofill. It's basically equivalent from a security perspective as manually typing your password, because in both cases, the password doesn't get filled into the login form until the user explicitly types it in or chooses for it to be filled. However, this scenario still isn't 100% secure. Once you type the password in or cause the form to be filled in, it's vulnerable. If there is malicious JavaScript on the page, say injected by a network attacker because the login page was served over HTTP, then the password is once again vulnerable and the JavaScript can read the password and steal it just as we saw before. So this has been a hard problem for a while, but fortunately in the case of password managers, we are able to solve it. We call this defense secure filling because it makes password managers more secure than manually typing your password. There are two basic principles to secure filling. First, we don't want to let JavaScript read a login field that has been autofilled by a password manager. As soon as a password manager fills a login field, it becomes unreadable by JavaScript. Second, we don't want the password manager should enforce that when a login form submits, it can only submit to the same action that was originally present when the password was saved. This prevents an attacker from stealing the password by changing the login form's action and waiting for the login form to submit. Obviously, for this defense to be effective, the site must submit the login form over HTTP, over HTTPS, so that the attacker cannot read the password directly off the wire. This defense is very simple. We were able to implement it in Chromium in only about 50 lines of code, yet it's very effective. It makes password managers more secure than manually typing in your password, and it means that if you cause a password to be filled in, even if there's malicious JavaScript running on the page, your password remains safe. The attacker is not able to read it. There is, however, a limitation to secure filling in that it is not compatible with sites that use AJAX to submit their login form. This is done by 10 of the top 50 sites on Alexa, and those sites rely on the ability to read the login form via JavaScript in order to submit it, so it's not compatible. However, this isn't a big problem because there are several workarounds that can be implemented. On the side of sites, instead of using XML HTTP requests to do AJAX, they can put the login form in an iframe and then just submit the iframe. This is a similar AJAX-y feel for users, but it comes with all the security benefits associated with secure filling. On the browser side of things, browsers can implement a send password JavaScript API that allows, JavaScript to submit a password to an approved location without being able to read the password itself. This allows an AJAX similar to the way it's currently used, but compatible with secure filling. Ultimately, we believe that the security benefits of secure filling greatly outweigh the drawbacks, and so we strongly encourage all browsers and password managers to implement it. We disclosed our results to the various password manager vendors we studied, and already we've seen a couple changes to password manager fill policies. 1Password now shows a warning when autofilling HTTPS passwords on pages that are currently being served over HTTP. As I mentioned earlier, LastPass will now no longer automatically autofill passwords in iframes that are not same origin with their parent page. So in conclusion, there are a lot of corner cases to automatic autofill that makes it an inherently dangerous idea. The idea of giving a password in clear text to an environment that is potentially running untrusted code is just inherently bad. This enables sweep attacks, which allow the attacker to steal passwords without any user interaction by taking advantage of automatic autofill. I described 2 different defenses that can be used to defend against sweep attacks. First, password managers should implement manual autofill only, meaning that the password is only ever filled with user interaction. This prevents automated attacks like I showed. Second, I described secure filling, which can make password managers more secure than manually typing your password and means that even if there's malicious JavaScript on the page, your password remains secure. These 2 defenses are just as convenient for users, but significantly more secure than automatic autofill and what's currently available. Ultimately, we strongly believe that password managers are good things and can help users have more secure logins, but we want to fix the security issues with password managers so that they truly become tools that benefit security. Thank you all, and we now have a couple minutes for questions.
Minutes, perfect. Opportunity for questions either on that mic over there, or you can come to me, and I have a microphone. Yeah, David?
That would reduce it but it wouldn't eliminate it because the attacker could inject JavaScript on a page that was already running JavaScript. So sites that were already using JavaScript would still be vulnerable. But it would be a good halfway measure, yes.
Hello, Jeffrey Goldberg from Agile Bits. I thank you privately, let me thank you publicly. I'm wondering if you've looked at how frequently sites change the action in these login forms. That is, we've considered implementing your must match the action to fill, but are concerned that those things change frequently.
We've not looked into that specifically, though I was simplifying when I said it must match exactly. In reality, it should match the same origin. So if a site moved the login page to a different site in the origin, then that would be fine. It's just if it moved off to a totally other domain, then yeah, the user would have to manually go change things.
And I think maybe one more question.
Jethro Beekman, UC Berkeley. So some sites implement rigorous measures to prevent a password autofilling. How does secure autofilling work on those sites?
We haven't looked at that specifically, besides there is an HTML attribute that says autocomplete equals false that basically tells the browser to not autocomplete this. And for the most part, password managers completely ignore that. So that does nothing. We haven't looked at other strange mechanisms that sites might use to disable password manager filling.
Thanks.
Great. Well, in the interest of time, let's thank David again.